And welcome to a special broadcast with and for Mayor Panim. They are more than just a soup kitchen. They are a food and social service agency that serves all of Israel. With us once again is Mimi Rosmarin, Director of Global Development for Mayor Panim. A good Gebench Yer Shana Tova to you and your family. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me again. It's a pleasure.
We had you on list before Pesach, before Passover, and then Corona was just at the beginning phases, and you had challenges. Today, Israel, unfortunately, is in lockdown, and there are all kinds of challenges, new challenges. So since you help people with all kinds of social services, actually, before we get to that, perhaps you can just tell our audience, because Mayor Panim has expanded so much over the years that it does so much more than it used to do. So perhaps just give us a bird's eye view of what Mayor Panim does on a day-to-day basis.
Sure. Great. So we were founded 20 years ago, and our mission at its founding was primarily focused on soup kitchens. We like to call them restaurant-style soup kitchens because we really reimagined what it means to take care of people in need. We don't have lines. We have our clients come in and take a seat. We serve them at their table with a beautiful plate of food. And since then, thank God, we've had the ability to expand from one location in Jerusalem to five locations around the country. And we've also, in this time, expanded our services, where we now offer after-school programs in two of our centers in the afternoons. We offer a Holocaust Survivor Day program in our center in Dimona, a town in the south. And we have three teen evening centers in the city of Sderot. So what started quite humbly 20 years ago as a modest soup kitchen in Jerusalem as a dream to really serve Israel's most needy with dignity has really transformed into a much larger operation, which is really focused on breaking the cycle of poverty to the next generation.
Now, things were a little shaky before Corona. Once Corona hit, obviously it changed the dynamics of on the ground, and Israel went through a better phase and now back, unfortunately, to where we're seeing higher Corona rates and we're seeing a lockdown. So since people, and you still have your soup kitchens and you distribute food and you have other social services, so how does it work now when people are on lockdown? How do you provide, especially during holiday time, whether Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, the whole season, where people need more assistance, not less? So this complicates it, I would dare say, immensely.
That's a great question. I think that it's been really complicated for us in this period of time, and we are just working so hard to continue our mission to take care of Israel's most vulnerable citizens and get them their basic needs taken care of. So one thing we have done since the beginning of Corona, since we were speaking in March already, was to remove all dining in operations at our locations into takeaway or delivery. We've expanded our delivery options tremendously, and we have also had the responsibility to completely overhaul our supply chain and our operations. So we had been blessed for the last 19 and a half years of having all of the food that we serve to our clients donated through hotels and events halls. So when hotels would have extra food, when events halls would have extra food, they would donate to us, and we would serve them to our clients, those in need. And that was an amazing model for so many reasons, and it helped so many people, both those in need and both those in the hotel business that felt that all of this extra food could be used for good. Unfortunately, because since March, hotels and event halls have been either closed or their capacity has been reduced so greatly, we have taken on the responsibility of cooking, buying ingredients, and cooking all of the food for all of our locations around the country. And even more so, we are responsible for taking care of, it was at the height, three times the number of clients that we would see a year ago. Now it's down to two, which is still insane and super busy, but we're grateful and we're happy and hopeful that people are getting back to work and getting their lives back on track. But we are just facing this constant pressure of providing, cooking, and purchasing food at numbers that are just completely transformed from what we've been used to.
So let me get it straight. In the past, you had restaurants and catering halls donate food to you. It was easier for you to get food to people. Now, because of the shutdown and the situation, so you don't have many events, so you don't have so much, you don't have the food coming in from restaurants and catering halls. You got to cook it yourself, and you have more hardship distributing the foods.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm just trying to get a clear picture, because and more people need your services because of the whole chain of events. So it's like a vicious cycle. So how are people getting food? How are you dealing with that? Let's look at that aspect.
Sure. So it's a great question, because Israel's lockdown. So as you know, we had a 9-week lockdown in March, April, and May, where this country banded together. Really, everyone stayed home, and it was mandated, but people really followed the law. And then we were able to get down our numbers into a place where we had maybe 15, 20 new cases a day. The government felt it was safe for everyone to go back out, to reopen the economy, send children back to school, send people back to work. And unfortunately, in this period, it seems like either the country reopened too quickly, or as the data pointed out. And over the summer, since May, our numbers have skyrocketed.
Give us an idea number-wise. So let's keep it in perspective. People should know. What kinds of figures are we talking about?
So recently, there have been more than 4,000 new cases a day, more than a couple days in a row. And, you know, in May, when the country reopened, we were at, you know, a couple dozen max.
That's an amazing jump.
Completely disheartening. Yeah, it's extremely upsetting, and it's difficult to watch and to hear. And you know, people are just being put into mandatory self-isolations on a regular basis. One strength of this country system is because we're such a small country, and the contact tracing is so strong. One way we were really successful in the spring was that if anyone was in contact with someone that found out or was discovered to have the virus, through their contacts, the country was able to inform them, you were in contact with someone that tested positive. You need to now enter a mandatory self-isolation for 14 days. As it turns out, through July, 1 million Israelis had been put on one of these alerts. So 1/9 of the population has been put into a 14-day self-quarantine. And unfortunately, still, we're seeing these incredibly high numbers. So we are faced with a situation where we have no choice but to re-enter a lockdown. And this is a very long digression to explaining that our lockdown does include the opportunity for people to go out for two essential purposes, to grocery stores to get food, and in order to go to a pharmacy or a doctor appointment. So because we are working in partnership with the welfare ministry and with the government and with all of our municipalities, the state has declared Mayor Panim an essential category. We provide food for people who cannot afford food at the grocery store. So our staff can go into the centers. We can provide for those in need, and those in need are able to come up to pick up a meal to take home. At the same time, our delivery numbers have skyrocketed. There are people that are in high-risk health categories that aren't able to come out. It's not safe for them. And there are people, like the 1 million Israelis through July and August, that have been put in mandatory self-isolation that can't get out. So we have been delivering tremendous amounts of meals to those in need also.
So you rely also on volunteers and people to deliver the food, considering the lockdown and people nervous about corona, people may have it. So how does that work? Because it would seem to me, sitting here, I'm sitting in New York, it would seem to me that you have another challenge, because you got to get people to actually deliver the food, and you have a diminishing supply of people you can count on.
You know what, Deb, I can tell you the one thing, I think one humongous silver lining that we've seen in this crisis is we have had double the number of volunteers coming out.
Wow, double?
Incredible, double. It's It's unbelievable. People have been calling more than we can handle. We want to help cook. We want to help clean. We want to help deliver. It has been completely inspiring. Especially, I want to tell you the story of one specific man in our Orotiva Center, which is adjacent, a small town right next to the town of Caesarea, which is a tourist destination here in Israel. And his hotel has been closed through the lockdown. And he had been coming in, the head chef of the Don Caesarea, his name is Harvey Peretz, been coming in every morning to Mayor Panim in Orotiva and cooking food for the hundreds to thousands of people that need meals there. And even when the hotel did reopen in May and June, albeit only at 25% capacity, he still made time in his daily schedule to come in and prepare these meals.
Amazing. Wow. So people are getting not just regular food, but gourmet food. Remember we discussed
it. Seriously. The people in need in Orotiva are certainly getting better food than I am in my household.
That's the highest form of charity, is that you not only give them basic, but you even give them a higher level, which in this case is gourmet food and chef quality food. That's something.
Absolutely.
Amazing.
Absolutely. And he recruited some of his friends in the pastry department to make desserts for Shabbat. It's incredible. Him and all of the volunteers that have come out, we had in May and June, people that were teachers, that schools were closed, would be coming in, and they just felt like, I think, people that are going through isolation, they want to do and they want to give back, and people were so inspired to come and make a difference, people with their families. It's been incredible for us to see.
We're speaking with Mimi Rosmarin. She's Director of Global Development for Meir Panim. They really do so much. We've been concentrating on the food. We'll look at their social services they provide throughout Israel. And Mimi is originally from the west side of Manhattan. And I guess because of what's happening on the west side, Mimi, you're so much better off in Israel than you are on the west side. And I think many people feel that way, too.
Absolutely. I think, I joked in middle May when our kids went back to school and all of our family and friends in the U.S. were still home doing Zoom school with their kids. I said, I've never been as happy to have made Aliyah. However, I'm eating my words a little bit now because it seems like things are really returning to normalcy. And many of our schools are, thank God, back in person, and we're back in lockdown again. So it takes both sides.
But I'll share with our audiences that there are a lot of homeless on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and the Lucerne Hotel, where you had a lot of your guests for your wedding stay, it became a homeless shelter. So
yes.
I guess when you look at that and say where you are despite all the hardships, certainly Israel has its challenges, but certainly it's safer. And I think people are happier in Israel despite all the problems that the world is facing today.
I think so. I think there's a spirit here of we're all in it together that we didn't see as much in the U.S. I think that because we are such a small country with universal health care and a more united government, smaller government, we see that the laws are able to be a little bit more sweeping and a little more universal. So, the things that we know prevent the spread of coronavirus, social distancing, limiting size of gathering, and mask wearing are a part of the law here. And while I know some of those things are quite contentious in the U.S., I think the community here has just accepted this is what we need to do as an Israeli society to get through this. And I think while it is extremely frustrating that we're all back in lockdowns, especially for the high holidays, we are happy, very happy, that we have these opportunities as a community.
Now, you mentioned, people needing relief and help, and certainly Mayor Panim is not a government agency, but working and been declared by the government as an essential agency, and you're doing, and we focus on the food, but Mayor Panim is a lot more than that. That before we get to that, and I urge people, and we'll do that a couple of times during our special broadcast, is people want to learn more about Mayor Panim and what you're doing, and if they want to contribute and help out, which certainly is appreciated and helpful, where can people learn about Mayor Panim?
Sure. So we have a very active website, mayorpanim.org. We would love for you to come and look and learn and read more of our stories and look at the people and the faces. We also have a donation hotline, which we invite you to take part of. I invite you to join me and my family in prioritizing helping Israel's most vulnerable population this time of year especially, and that you can just call right away, 1-877-DONATE, right from your phone.
I love the number, 1-877-DONATE. Easy to remember,
yeah.
And it really gets the message out there. So love it. 1-877-DONATE is the number. So we've been focusing on the food, which is important. People have to eat. And as you pointed out, you can get 4,000 new cases a day of people looking for food. But it's more than just giving people food. Mayor Panim has expanded over the course of the years to provide so much more. You mentioned it briefly at the onset of our discussion. Perhaps we can go more into detail. Where are some of the other social services that Mayor Panim provides to people in Israel on a day-to-day basis?
Sure. So as we've become more ingrained in each community, our staff and our branch managers have become more intertwined with the municipalities and have had a greater pulse on the community needs from the bottom up. So in different of our locations, we've been doing and taking on different projects that can include after-school programs from kindergarten to fourth grade. Something that most people don't know about Israel is the standard Israeli school. The day runs from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and that's it. So these after-school programs provide these young children, babies, with a hot lunch when they come after school, homework help, supervision, and all types of support who otherwise would really be going home to an empty home or parents living on the periphery and all kinds of challenges. So these two after-school centers have become vital to children in our Or Kiva and Dimona locations.
And is
also
that still,
Dimona,
do you have as many people using it now with all the things that's going on? Has that been reduced because of the lockdown?
No. So, well, certainly it's we can't exist in the lockdown. That's on pause, just like school is during the lockdown. But we've seen the same number of kids coming in when school started. September 1st was the first day of school here in Israel. And June 30th last year was the last day of school, and we've seen the same numbers of kids coming in. This really, these centers become their second home and their afternoon part of their school routine. They go to school until 1:30. They come to Mayor Panim, have a lovely hot lunch, get homework help, get socialization, have fun. And then, 4:30, they get home, and that's when about most of their parents are either coming home from work or have older siblings. So these kids aren't home alone.
It's a big help to the parents because a lot of them don't have means, they can't afford a babysitter, can't afford child care. So this is a means of helping them earn a living because if they didn't have this, they wouldn't be able to go to work.
Absolutely. And many schools around the country do offer an afternoon supplementary program from 1:30 to 4 or 4:30. But depending on the municipality, it can be quite expensive. And, parents are faced with either working or paying for these afternoon programs. And unfortunately, what we saw was many parents were just continuing to work, not able to enroll their kids in the Tzaron, the afternoon programs, and just having these literally kindergartners, six-year-olds, come home to an empty apartment.
Wow. Wow. What are some of the other services that you provide?
In our Dimona location, we have a Holocaust survivor day program, and that has been an incredible community building opportunity for 35 local Holocaust survivors to come together, become a family, and really lean on each other. They're open 3 days a week from 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. This program actually has had to take a couple pauses already due to rising coronavirus numbers and keeping our senior citizens safe, but that is just an inspiring, wonderful, incredible program that we offer. In our Tzvat branch, all the way up north, we have budgeting and educational workshops for our clients to come in at least one afternoon a week, to be able to learn about how to manage money, how to help get themselves out of poverty, different kinds of job training opportunities over there. And we also, one of the things very close to my heart is in Sderot, a Gaza adjacent community. So Sderot's a city right on the edge of the Gaza Strip. We offer three tea centers, so three locations which are based in three different neighborhoods where up to 70 teens can come together and be in a relaxed social environment where they receive skill building, leadership opportunities. They have bomb shelters. So they come in and go downstairs so their parents know they're somewhere safe and contained. They can hang out and relax. And especially in Sderot, where you only have 15 seconds between hearing a siren and needing to get to a safe place, having these neighborhood-based has been incredible for the youth population there.
Wow. It's amazing what you're doing. And I'm just thinking, all these things cost money, even though you rely on volunteers to get a lot done, but getting the food, and there's so many elements that require funding and requires money. So let's look at that. Let's look at the numbers. Let's look at prior to the whole corona situation, what is your budget now?
So we are running. It's a great question, and unfortunately, you are right. To do the work we do costs a lot of money, and as we spoke about before, our operating model has shifted, especially due to the change in in-kind donation from hotels and events halls of food. So since March, we have been operating at an additional expense of $250,000 a month.
Wow. Wow. So where are you getting the money from? Are you being subsidized? In Israel, the income has gone down, so you can't rely as much even on donations. So tell us what the picture is like. Right?
Yes.
I don't want to paint such a bleak picture, but you got more work and less money coming in.
No, you are super right. I think one thing is that I'm extremely confident in our CEO that we will not work ourselves and help people into the ground. Rest easy. Mayor Panim will weather this crisis. And, it's a combination of things. It's reserves. It is grants and foundational support through both the government and through private donors. We've had a reserve for many years, thankfully, which we are very quickly going through and spending right now. And, we do have a wait list of people. We have more people we can help if we had more funds available to help them. So while we are operating an additional $250,000 a month, we could be really operating, I would say, $500,000 a month, if budget permitted.
Wow. So, and besides having so much more work on your plate, and you have to provide people food on their plate and other services, so you have to do more fundraising. How is that going, and where are you seeing people responding? And I know you mentioned Israel, the volunteers have doubled because of the situation. Are you finding more people willing to open up their wallets and help you during these trying times?
We really are, Zev. It's been incredible. I think that this crisis has shown us that there are people out there that are still doing okay financially, that have their jobs, that are stuck in their homes, that are doing less because everything is closed. And instead of doing other things or just putting that money aside, we really see a significant rise in donations from people both here in Israel and our partners overseas. It is obviously an incredible opportunity, and it's an incredible gift to be able to be in a position of giving and be in a position of helping people. And I think people have been inspired by the work we've been doing, and we've seen so many stories of unemployment, and the unemployment rate in this country jumped in March from 4% to 26% in a heartbeat. And I think that people that are still working and not spending money on entertainment or hotels or vacations because so many things are closed are really responding and opening their hearts and their wallets. But, of course, we can always use more, and the more we get, the more we can give.
obviously, because as you said, you're getting new people every day that are coming for your services. So each day you have new challenges. You have to raise more money and provide more food. So Mayor Putnam, I've seen the growth from just being, as you said, Mimi, a soup kitchen at its onset, today providing food services, social services throughout Israel, including for Holocaust survivors and for parents with after school care, which is so important. How can people help? People who are listening right now, how can they become involved? How can they become a partner with Mayor Putnam?
So I think there's two primary vehicles, which I think about in terms of getting involved with our organization. I would think for us, the best thing you can do is sign up for our newsletters, check in and see what we're doing. I think, you know, when tourism and when travel reopens, make visiting one of our locations part of your plans for a trip to Israel. I think when people come in and see our people and spend an hour at our soup kitchens with our teens in Sderot, it's inspiring and it's engaging and it's even fun. I think it's a humongous, humbling experience to be able to help and interact with those in need. And of course, the other thing that we need more than is financial donations and financial support, because we rely on donations. We rely on donations from those outside of Israel who are in a better position, a stronger position of giving, and we just appreciate every dollar that comes in. We also appreciate every visit and every email and every comment on our newsletters and our Facebook page. So learn about us, become engaged with our work, and please donate.
Let's give out the information. Let's give out the website. Let's give out that great toll-free number you have.
Sure. So it is www.mayorpanim.org. That's our website. And our toll-free number is 1-877-DONATE, D-O-N-A-T-E. A really awesome number. I wish I could take credit for catching it, but I inherited it.
It's a great number. People can remember 877-DONATE. So sometimes people have to scrounge. I heard that great organization. What's that phone number? Well, it's mayorpanim.org. Easy to remember. And the phone number, 877-DONATE, obviously very, very easy to remember. And just utilize that number, and you can call any time, and they'll be happy to take your donations. And especially during this high holiday season, when we give more charity, what better way than putting food on people's table that really need it and to help them in so many different ways? It's a great way to start off the new year. It's a great way to celebrate holidays. So we urge people to be involved. Mimi, I want to thank you for all that you do. Mimi Rosmarin, Director of Global Development for Mayor Panim, their food and social services throughout the land of Israel, originally from the United States. Now she's in Israel. So thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all that Mayor Panim does to really help those that really, really need assistance.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I wish everyone listening a Shana Tova, a Happy New Year. I do hope to greet you in Israel soon. I can tell you, as a recent immigrant just here a couple years, we are waiting for tourism to open up again so that our family and friends can come back and visit us. And professionally, I'm waiting to meet and greet volunteers that come in and make Mayor Panim a part of their vacation schedules here in Israel.
Absolutely. When you go to Israel, visit the Mayor Panim. Maybe we can, if you're a chef, maybe you can even cook. If you're a gourmet,
we would love that. I would.
Can
love
people
that
come and
so
cook?
Much.
Okay.
Absolutely, that would be incredible.
Hey, as long as you don't stir the pot, then you can cook. You're okay. So.
Yes. And I would love, Zev, to share a little bit about how we helped our clients celebrate Rosh Hashanah. If we have another minute or so.
Sure. Go right ahead.
So we had, the high holidays are here, and we are all in this this new normal of this lockdown situation in Israel, where Israeli citizens cannot go more than 500 meters from our homes, and we're not able to travel outside in a car other than for going to the grocery store or getting medical supplies. So this year is a very, very different Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot experience. I think we went through this over Pesach, the same type of deal, and I think most of us were hoping to be in a different situation by this time. Certainly it seemed when we reopened that the corona crisis was behind us. However, Mayor Panim has responded to this time in three ways. The first thing is we've provided ready-made meals for our clients to take home over Rosh Hashanah. We are providing pantry baskets, so bags of staples, oil, flour, canned food, all the different things that someone might need to prepare a meal on their own over the holiday. And the third thing we are providing our clients with is grocery shopping carts. And this we do two times a year, before Passover and before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And that is an amazing thing that we're able to do, because we allow our populace to shop for groceries like everyone else, and be able to really choose what they're going to eat and enjoy the dignity of going to a store and preparing a meal for themselves or for their loved ones and family in their home, obviously. And so those are the things we really focused on this year to help really minimize the emotional and social costs of the mandatory isolation.
Mimi, thank you again for all that you do. It's 1-877-DONATE, 877-DONATE. Great number, great cause, and wish you and your family a really, and all of us, to have a blessed Shana Tova, a happy new year. We should enjoy the holidays with Simcha, with real, true happiness. And we do certainly hope and pray that Corona goes away as soon as possible. Thank you again for what you do and what Mayor Panim does.
Amen. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
And you've been listening to a special on Mayor Panim.